Fight!
Welcome to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name is Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
Hey there, everybody. My name's Nolan.
That's great. I love it. Energy, enthusiasm. This is episode 58.
Almost to 60, which is not a milestone, but...
Kenny, are we not going to do the woo after the number anymore?
Oh, no. I don't know. It's like 58's not significant.
And this is our first ever Patreon pool. We are super excited about this episode. Just up front, let me explain. This episode is our first ever Patreon-supported episode in which a few of our loyal supporters gathered together and they suggested some of the games that they wanted us to play from the Retro Master list. And so our random selection from last week to this week was a lot smaller than normal weeks. And so we really just picked from a handful of games, and we ended up with the game Doom. But before we talk about that game in particular, I want to talk about controversies. Kenny, Nolan.
Oh, great. What?
What was that issue in your house growing up where you maybe wanted to enjoy something, a video game or a movie or a book or a toy even, but your parents wouldn't let you, or they had some kind of issue with it because of the controversy that surrounded that particular thing?
I've got that easy.
Easy? Go for
yeah.
it. What is it?
So, Harry Potter.
Really?
They thought it was like going to... get me into like real witchcraft, I guess. I don't even know
which
what the it reason
did.
Was.
I mean, coincidentally,
it did, but it's been a great ride, and they were wrong.
Right?
No, like one of my favorite series. I had to read later, but it's Harry Potter. Silly enough.
I mean, like Harry Potter was a big thing, I think, for a lot of families, but it was just a new thing. My family, my parents let me read it. In fact, they would take me to Walmart and we'd get the book as soon as it released, but. For the movies, we actually would watch most of them as a family in theater.
That's
but,
awesome.
But we had to go to a couple towns over so that we didn't see people that we knew because we didn't want to offend them, you know, they thought. So it was a slightly awkward thing, but at least they allowed me to take part.
I can't believe they kept me from, like, amazing novels.
Yeah. Don't you hate them?
Yeah, I resent them for it. I'm going to cast a spell on them after this episode. No,
exactly.
Remind me.
I'm sitting here trying to think while you guys are talking, and yeah. I don't think I had many of them.
I feel like there weren't as many controversies back in the 70s.
No, okay. A, I'm not that old.
Such a stupid but funny joke.
B.
It's not good.
No. I don't know. Like, nothing's coming to mind.
So your parents were pretty cool with you doing...
drugs? They let you do drugs?
I mean, no.
With doing the... what's the thing where you have a party and all your friends put a hand on the on the thing and it moves over the letters and the ghost
talks?
Oh,
yeah, it's a Ouija board. Ouija.
Your parents were all for that?
No.
You didn't go that
way? I don't
Kenny
know. Like,
wasn't
I wasn't,
allowed
I wasn't that
it.
Kid. Like, I was kind of... I was kind of a good kid.
Straight-laced?
Yeah, my older siblings were the ones who did all the rebellious stuff and got in trouble, and so I just kind of, like, coasted.
Gotcha.
Wait, there's what? Other Kennys?
There's two of them,
I didn't
right?
know you had siblings. Wait. That's so weird. Why did
oh,
I not
yeah.
know that?
Two Kenny
know.
Siblings? Either of you Pokemon, was that an issue at your home?
No, but I knew of kids who it was.
Really?
For.
That
yeah.
sucks. Like, it wasn't in mine. It tried to be at one point. Like, I don't know, my mom's friend or something brought it up, and it's like the dumbest thing. And I was like, no, I'm sorry, I'm gonna keep training. So
I definitely knew it. Kids who like couldn't watch Disney movies and different things, and you like wow. looked at their parents like, what?
Because it says yeah. penis in the sky sense? Or something like that.
Was no,
right,
no.
In every single one of the movies.
Every single movie. I am pretty sure in original Lion King the like.
Said sex. It
the
didn't.
Sex one.
It, didn't.
It did.
So
no, I remember
no,
as a kid
right,
getting out the VHS
theorist.
Player and stopping it and seeing it.
Sure. Well, for as long as there has been video games, there have been controversies concerning them. People are always upset about something, and Dungeons and Dragons, Grand Theft Auto, Harry Potter, I mean, that's not a game, but many people find many reasons to hate video games, and this is particularly true when it comes to our retro game of the week.
Doom. Overview.
So much blood.
So much blood, so much gore. This game came out in 1993, and it was an FPS, or a first-person shooter. And in fact, it was one of the first-person shooters. And I guess it has Space Invaders to thank, as we discussed last week.
It really doesn't
at all. Although it's not the first-person shooter ever, there had been some precursors to this game. It was the game that popularized the FPS genre, and
that's fair.
I want to say up front, I don't want you to be confused with the new Doom that came out this year. They kind of just rebooted the whole series, and I think it didn't come out with much success, did it? Like, I feel like
it
did.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I knew they built it up huge, but I thought it kind of flopped when it came out.
I hope not. I understand, it sold quite a few copies.
Yeah, I had a sense that it did okay, but I didn't actually ever look into it. You also shouldn't get it confused with Doom the movie, based on Doom the video games.
Right. Fairly straightforward FPS of what we know today. So you don't see your character. You are your character. You see some of the gun that your character holds, the weapon that your character wields, and you go around in these various environments, picking up, finding new weapons, picking up power-ups and health, potions or supports or whatever, and you go around and you try to really simply just get to the end of the level. And so the game is set up in a way that it's three episodes that each have 9 levels to each episode, and then there was a release after the initial release of a fourth episode entirely. And so it's a game that at the time had gratuitous violence, satanic imagery, and extreme realism, which is somewhat laughable at this point because it's not realistic when you hop into this game and play it.
No.
And honestly, a lot of the content that it has, I feel like a lot of the most modern gamers wouldn't even flinch at today. Mm-hmm. What do you guys, do you guys agree with that?
Yes, because I know that this game had that stigma when it came out, but going back, please. Like, those parents need to play, the new Doom, I'm sure, is way worse. Or,
I mean, even, GTA 5, right? Like, that's Grand Theft Auto, a lot more filthy.
So, that is funny that was such... But, at the time, this was the most bloody and violent video game. So,
yeah, it was. I mean, I remember, distinctly sitting down as, a kid and watching, I don't know who it was, a cousin or an older neighbor or, somebody random, but who was, like a teenager, grown up, sitting down and playing this game, and me thinking, holy cow, this game is violent.
Yeah, and not only that, with the satanic imagery, which, if people would just take a moment, take a breath, and actually look into the game itself, they would realize why it's there. It's not just there for fun, and it's not just there so that we can, enter into hell itself, although you kind of do in the game. It's because the gates of hell is literally, opening up and sending out its beasts into the world that it is.
And you're killing them.
I don't know what it was about, the mid-90s, but this whole hell thing was really popular. Doom
really was.
Later on you get TV shows. What's the one that Angel's the spinoff? Buffy. You get the
don't
Diablo
act like
series.
You don't know Buffy.
Yeah, dude,
I
literally
stayed at my house for a year and watched every single episode.
Listen, I forgot the name
one.
Of it. It's a great show.
What's it called?
If you're into that, but like that era, I feel like Minions of Hell were to the mid '90s what zombies were to the later 2000s or something.
Oh, the parents were livid in the 90s. That's so true with so many other things too, movies and everything, music.
Yeah, sure. I mean, and some things change. I think the subject matter changes, but pretty much we just have that every, every 10 years we'll have a new theme to be angry at. But For this game, there's not much story outside of what was presented in the instruction manual.
It does give you a little context, though. You don't get it like going back and playing because you don't have those things, but it sets up kind of where you are in the story. And though it's not like story driven, there's some sort of natural sort of story as you progress through just playing different levels.
And actually, in my opinion, a good one. Like, I was actually intrigued by the story. Yeah. So you're a no-name space marine who's banished to Mars, right? So he had done something to offend his commander here on Earth and was sent to Mars as if, like, that is sending him away to die, to rot, to waste. Somewhere in that, there's some experiments that go wrong, as they always do, and one of the moons of Mars just completely disappears, and the other moon has something happening there that's threatening the universe. And so some space marines locally on Mars, including who you are playing, head over to Phobos, the moon there, and find out when you get there that something has happened. A portal is open and there are just hordes of demonic enemies, and even all the humans that were there have been possessed. And so you get there and your whole crew dies, and so your only way out, you don't know, is not flying out, but is fighting through all of these demons. And so through the story, you end up on Mars's other moon, and then it finally, the third episode concludes by you walking through hell and going to take out the demon that that started this revolt, started this try to take over all of Earth. And so that's the epic story.
Yeah, that's okay. When you look at the genre that this game is, that's pretty awesome that they gave you that story. Because, and we'll probably reference it many times just because we've played this game on our podcast, but Duke Nukem 3D, very similar gameplay, came out after Doom, but there's no like cool story like that, you know? Like this could be a book series or something. I could see that being very awesome. I love the plot.
Story-wise, it reminds me of Half-Life.
Yes.
Like, really
the game itself,
story.
Reminds me of Half-Life so much.
I mean, and I didn't get into the story near as much as you do in Half-Life, but, like, it at least offers something.
Not through gameplay, you don't. That's the thing.
Right.
That's, like, the caveat. You have to kind of look behind the gameplay and read about it, or at least I did.
Yeah, whereas Half-Life, like, you're in it. Like, you're getting story just by gameplay. And this one, you're pretty much just getting a shooter.
Gosh, I love this game. I can't wait to talk about gameplay.
Let's do it now.
Gameplay.
All right, so Doom's gameplay is very straightforward if you're familiar with FPS, which you are if you're listening to this. So you just can strafe left and right, forward and back. And so this was on PC, and Dustin, I think you mentioned it, but it was released as shareware. So they encouraged people to like distribute the copy. It was actually only the first episode that you get to play 9 levels before they wanted you to like buy the game or a key. And so it was a PC game, and it still to me feels like such a smooth PC game as far as movement goes. But so yeah, you can move around like typical FPS, and you have your gun that's in the middle of the screen, which may be weird to some people being used to it being on the right side of the screen, just in newer games, I guess, to make it more realistic. But you aim your gun at the enemies, and it kind of auto-targets for you.
Do you aim your gun?
You don't really aim your gun, so you can't look up and down. You can just look left and right, and so if you point it in the general area of an enemy, your gun will auto-target.
If you're really bad at the game like I am, you can definitely still miss a lot.
If you play... So after the first episode, as you get into it, like...
Oh, you adjust for sure.
You adjust, really. And I mean, Nolan, you're saying typical FPS, and for sure, but like this is pre-WASD as your primary moving buttons. So like this is your arrow keys. I think your like control or something along those lines, your control key is shoot. So the configuration is different than what you might be used to. But
yeah, that's good. That's good to point out. It's not like your mouse keyboard combo, just because you don't need, I mean, it'd be nice to have a mouse. I'll say that just because I'm used to it. But you don't look up and down, so like, yeah, it's all keyboard based
and
controls.
And are all weapons same range? Like, are they infinite range? If there's an enemy on screen, because my shotgun can shoot someone from far away.
Yeah, the shotgun's really good, just weapon throughout the entire game. I'm pretty sure they're all range except for the melee weapon, but
like the
but
chainsaw.
It's a very easy like FPS. Like, you don't have to be very good at this game to go back and play it, just because it kind of does the whole auto targeting for you. But the game gets its difficulty elsewhere. It doesn't. I mean, that doesn't mean like the game's a breeze.
Yeah. So the difficulty for me and Kenny, it sounded like you had some issues with this game too, problematic wise in regards to you being able to do well in the game, and that's the same with me. So, but I'm interested in hearing where your qualms are, because for me, the game is not. It wasn't the enemies that for me that was difficult as much as it was is the puzzle aspect of the game. Every stage is set up in some kind of like labyrinth where you are trying to locate the proper keys to get out the proper doors to get to raise the appropriate staircase so that you can actually make it to the elevator that takes you to the next level of wherever you are. And so it's all about having to know where you've been, know where you're going, and then know how to get there. And for me, that was an issue. On top of that, you just put that there's secrets to be found, and then at the end of each level, you get how many secrets you found.
Oh, I bet that was bad for you.
And it's a whopping zero every single... Guys, I never found one secret.
Dude.
And you're such a completionist. That had to really get under your skin.
Bad. See, that I love that, because these are secrets. Like, some games put in the little collect these tokens or, I mean, Duke Nukem 3D, I'll bring it up again. They had the little secrets, and you had the same complaint in that game, if I remember correctly, Dustin. But
yeah, I had a lot of complaints with that game.
These are so hidden in this game that they are truly secrets and feel amazing when you find them. Because when you find them, which you didn't, so I'll just tell you what's in there, it's usually like extra Barney armor, health, ammo, all of those things, or like a weapon. It's very rewarding, and I love that there's so many in this game. I love that labyrinth style game, and I wouldn't call myself a completionist. Like, I'm okay with seeing 50% secrets or way lower than that in some cases, but I still enjoy them being there.
See, Dustin, you said the like maze aspects of it were the frustrating parts for you, and I thought that was one of the appeals of the game, is that it wasn't just go around and shoot things, it was navigate. And you can't do that until you can do 3D, or faux 3D at least, wherever this falls in that spectrum pretty early on, without giving people, that context of where you are in location, at least not well. And so, though I did find myself sometimes getting lost because there wasn't as much realism as we're used to today, where like literally like you're looking around and you know exactly where you are in a game. There was enough of that I could generally keep track of where I was, and I loved finding my way through things. What was frustrating for me was when you were like taking damage from a monster and didn't know where it was, or like a monster snuck up behind you and was right up in your face and you couldn't turn around in time to get to it, or I don't know. It was more like mechanical kinds of things that were my beef rather than like design kinds of things.
Yeah, which is very interesting, because that's the opposite of mine. It was the puzzle and trying to find things. I loved the enemy, how those were set up in this game, because even the way they did with audio cues, I was for the most part able to hear the enemy before I saw the enemy, and so I knew even what direction it was coming from. And because they even use stereo sound system in this, or stereo sound to be able to portray where an enemy might be in relation to where your character was standing. So that wasn't an issue for me. It was literally trying to find where in the world I was going, because the graphics were somewhat limited, and to me, many things looked the same. I would get stuck just walking around what I found to be circles, triangles, or squares for a good 30 minutes, thinking that I was kept trying to take a new path, but the way that some of these later stages were set up, I was just losing time and not being able to accomplish anything, and it was very frustrating in games like this to me. But that being said, one of the things that I enjoyed the most was the weapon selection. I loved every single weapon that I found. Was there a particular weapon that you guys enjoyed and used most often?
It's the shotgun for me, and I feel like that's always my answer in games like this. The shotgun, like in Half-Life, and
remember, Kenny hated the shotgun in Half-Life.
Yeah, which is silly. It's so good, and it's good in this game. I used it like every level, multiple times.
It's definitely good in this game. So I had fun, and I'm not normally this person, and didn't like excessively, just for like, you obviously have to go back and use guns, but I had a little bit of fun just running around punching stuff too.
You just used your fist?
Yeah, that's just because you can, and it's novel. No, like, the majority of my gameplay wasn't that, but the fact that you could was neat, and I don't know, just like running up and punching things was, for some reason, satisfying in this game. And I don't know why. Like, I'm not normally that guy.
And you can run up to enemies pretty fast. Guys, the speed of your character is ridiculous.
That's kind of what I meant when I said it feels like a PC FPS. Just in how fast you move and how smooth it is. I love that. Because it really is, like, so fast. Like, you can go too fast sometimes.
Oh, the whole time I was going too fast. I had to run, like, go in and then stop, turn around slowly to see what was going on, and then run again. It's so fast.
Strafing and like firing as you strafe is not good in this game. It's not a really good idea, just because you'll miss and you go too fast. But I just love that. It's so Doom. Like, I think of Doom anytime a game does that. Even people started calling games after Doom, Doom clones, because they did everything so right.
The first, like, person shooter genre for like the whole mid-90s was just
Doom clones.
Oh, it's just a Doom clone.
Yeah, which is, we can't ignore that because that's crazy. And I would agree. Like, I can totally see why they say that, because this game hit it on so many levels for me, like, as far as just enjoyment. I don't know, I'm getting ahead of myself. But
this,
like,
is one of those games that, yeah, you kind of are, but it's not like a big surprise. It was super, super influential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, massively so.
It was really the first of its kind in many ways, but the question that we come to is, does it still hold up to today's standards? If you were to take a copy and play it today, would you still have fun, or would there be a lot of glaring issues in regards to how it's aged? Let's talk about that now.
Aged.
Let's just start with the graphics. We haven't mentioned much about the graphics. What did you guys think about that?
For the year, they were absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
The problem is, the year was 1993, and they were doing a, you know, 3D, at least 3D simulated first-person shooter. Like, your threshold for what you need to do that really well is quite high. So, like, where they were relative to other things was amazing, but relative to what we're used to today, they're pretty poor graphics.
And I completely agree with that. Like, back then, they were good, and even top-notch somehow. It's kind of hard for my mind to wrap around that, because they're bad. Like, but here's my comparison.
Wait, really?
So, GoldenEye, Nintendo 64, beloved by many, and reasonably so. But if you compare those graphics to today's standards of graphics, you know, or even graphics in the gaming industry as a whole, there's some glaring issues. I mean, with what Nintendo 64 tried to do with its realism, you know, became very sharp edges and blocky graphics and polygons, and it, you know, it was found out that just didn't work. In regards to Doom, if you don't have, now there are a lot of mods that can add to the look and feel, but if you go back to vanilla Doom or even chocolate Doom, thank you, Antonin, then you notice a glaring just discrepancy between what is real and what they're trying to go for. And so I feel like these older games, a lot of them, if you go for realism, it looks worse than if you go for cartoon or if you go for some kind of other graphic representation. So I think graphically there's a lot of issues and it just doesn't hold up well here.
Wow. I'm alone. I don't know what's wrong with you guys. And I know they're bad. I'm not saying they're like better than today's graphics, but I love them. And I think they did so good with them. Like, I don't see any problems with them. Of course, it's hard to tell what some things are, but I know the game came out in 93, and I'm okay with that. And so I really love the look of Doom. In fact, when I used to play Minecraft, you can install texture packs, and there was a Doom one, and I installed it just because I just love the look of it. And it may be because I am used to the whole crappy polygons being a 64 fan, but I just... True.
Totally different feel.
Yeah, it's very different, but like the way they handled it. For instance, the first level, I open a door and there's a demon in front of me, and so I freak out and shoot, and then he gets blown backwards against the wall and hits the wall, and the blood splatters on the wall and stays there, and I noticed that. That wasn't something that just happened. Yeah, and was
that
like
is super impressive.
I was like, right. Okay, that's really impressive, and so I think they were so ahead of their time and definitely deserve the right to for everybody to say that other games are Doom clones and just compare it to Doom. So I love the graphics.
All right, so what about audio? So that's music, that's sound effects, that's mm-hmm. All of the above.
Again, nailed it. You mentioned it, Dustin. The audio cues for the enemies were
ridiculous. Yeah,
were very well placed. I always knew where they were as well, and like with the fireballs, you could hear that effect too and know that's coming. So as far as like those kinds of sounds, I think they nailed it. Each stage has a different track. Love that too, and I think they're all great.
They did well. Just as a like preference, the like style of music. You know, that kind of like, real sort of hardcore set the scene. Isn't like my preference, and especially like an early 90s take on it. But like it fits the game, and so I get it. I would fully agree with you about the sound effects, though. I didn't even realize it. And again, I didn't play a lot of this game as a kid. Like I didn't own it or play it, but it was so everywhere in culture that like I was very well aware of it. And oddly enough, some of the sound effects actually kind of hit me with like a nostalgia vibe. Not like an I want to go back and play it, because I didn't, but like an, oh, I know what that sounds from. That is a Doom sound. You know, like it just is just classic. I don't even know. They did a really good job with the sound stuff, even against my sort of preference on the music front.
I think the thing in regards to Age that impressed me the most was the engine work. Like what these guys were able to do with the limited resources that they had.
Absolutely.
Is just amazing. Kenny, you had mentioned earlier in regards to how you shoot things and there's different levels, and you said faux 3D. It's interesting when you look into it and read and actually know kind of what went into some of this, because there's no 3D here.
Right.
They weren't even able to do multiple floors on one level. They didn't have that capability yet. And so but you still see that. So I distinctly remember there's some demons on an upper floor. You kind of walk outside and you can look across the water or the toxic, water or whatever it might be. And you can see a demon up in a window and you can take him out from the ground. But the thing is, they didn't have the capabilities to do that. So just with draw distance and things they were able to do with that engine, they just created that form of realism without having the abilities technically that we have now, and I felt that playing it today, and it's just an amazing feat.
No, it's super impressive what they were able to do. Mechanically, we're so used to being able to look up and down, and there's always that like sort of laughable, like I'm aiming at the middle of the screen and it appears that the monster is way over my head and I'm hitting it, that we really gave Duke Nukem a really hard time for. But one, the implementation of it didn't bug me as much here, but two, just the like environment itself felt so good, you can kind of overlook it.
here, we've been talking about Duke Nukem. Let me just say this. Here's what I think. I think Duke Nukem was a group of guys trying to make a new and even edgier Doom. And yeah. And you can feel the forcedness of it. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to Doom, you can feel the love and the genuineness and the creativity and the originality
absolutely.
Behind it.
Duke Nukem definitely felt like it was trying to knock on what Doom did. And you could tell it that. And the, like... the controversy there wasn't from, like, you know, intensity and storyline. They just really went cheap and crass. And, like, I don't know. It just, Duke Nukem didn't feel very tasteful to me at all. Whereas Doom, even being heavy, feels like, I don't know, respectful and tasteful and tactful. And I don't know how to
agree.
Intentional, you know?
Yeah,
it's weird. And, but, like, you can tell the vibe behind design decisions was totally completely different. And even though we keep comparing them, because that was the most similar game we've played, completely different games.
And I'll just say on what Dustin was saying with the engine limitations. So with all the draw distance and everything, the way they were able to make it feel like multi-leveled, if you didn't know that about the game engine, like if you didn't know the developers were limited, you wouldn't notice that. That's how mm-hmm. good of a job they did. Like it felt so natural and so playable that you don't think about stuff like that. Like I wonder if they actually were able to make a second level. It's just like, oh, there's a guy up there, let me shoot him. So yeah, they nailed
it. You don't see it as a negative thing, but if you know what to look for, you see it as an extremely positive thing.
Right. Yeah,
and they obviously did something right because the expansions, the ports, and the future games in the series are abundant. Not even to mention what Kenny said earlier, I think, with the 2005 motion picture, like, and then the complete re-release now here in 2016. Like, Doom has a significant following, and it's not just because it became a cult classic or anything like that, but because, you know, many people think it is a genuinely great and groundbreaking game. But all of their opinion doesn't matter.
No, our opinions matter.
Our opinions are the one that matters. And so...
yeah, they are.
We're at the point of the podcast where we either give or reserve our vote for New Game Plus status.
The final shell shock.
Nolan, we already probably have a feel of where you're going, so would you like to just go ahead and give your approval?
I would. So Doom is a must play for everybody. I don't care if you don't like first-person shooters.
It's bold.
I think you still need to play the game. I rarely say that about a game. I rarely say that a game is a must play because I think that's so dramatic, but this game is that good. And that fun, and I'm confident enough to recommend that you will find some sort of enjoyment out of it. It had multiple campaigns. It had a great story that you don't expect. It had smooth, awesome gameplay, good music. The world and the levels feel dynamic with tons and tons of secrets, with maze-like navigation. It's set apart from so many games around that time. And all the other games that I love, not all of them, but a lot of games that I love today, pull from Doom. So Half-Life, I feel Half-Life all over this game when I go back and play it, and many games like it. So you should definitely, definitely play it.
That's one affirmative. Kenny?
I mean, making something a must-play, especially that's that old in a first-person shooter, is a high mark.
Uh-oh.
But like... I'm not generally a first-person shooter fan. I'm not generally a fan of games that rely on kind of dark or irreverent stories for their kind of push, at least when it's pointless. You know, there's some interesting things about the controls that make you kind of but overall, Nolan, you're pretty much right. Like
thought
this game,
so.
Yeah. Like I'd love if we could, you know, be a little controversial here. But like, there's a reason this thing absolutely blew up, and why it was the standard everything was measured to. And I'm not a fan of those things. I'm not generally a first-person shooter fan. There are exceptions, but they tend to be exceptional. And it's old, and it's the early graphics. But I went back, and as I played this game, I had fun. that first level, I was kind of like, I don't know about it. And then you start picking up armor and you start shooting monsters and you just get in this rhythm. And like, you don't know, I at least don't know why I wanted to keep playing, but I did. And, you know, it's definitely, there's reasons that it is as popular and as, big as it is. Sometimes, you know, like stuff will be like, oh, this was groundbreaking, and we go back and play it and I'm like, I don't get it. But I felt like with Doom I got it.
Love it. So that's two. That means it does get our new game plus status, and I'll just throw in my final 2 cents, 5 cents, 10 cents, a dozen. While I did not have the most fun playing this game this week for the reasons I mentioned earlier and for some of the similar ones Kenny mentioned, I'm not generally an FPS guy. The dark themes are not my favorite, and then the when you just throw the puzzle aspect on there, it just becomes a game that I get frustrated with easily, quickly, and then that frustration just builds. So that was still here in this game, but it's a game that I wholeheartedly give my approval for New Game Plus status. It is an iconic game for a reason. It's very challenging, but it is hours and hours of fun for those gamers who enjoy this genre, and even a game that I think everyone should at least get a taste of, whether or not this is your particular genre. So that is three yeses from the guys of New Game Plus, which means that this game does in fact receive our vote for New Game Plus status.
Basically, your Call of Duty is a Doom clone, so...
We received some robust emails this week. I think there are some Doom fans that are also friends of New Game Plus.
Nah.
Yeah, I had a feeling we were probably going to get some fanboy coming in, but I also can't blame them. So what'd people say?
So Antonin sent us an email at ngppodcast@gmail.com, and he said, "Hey guys, I haven't written in for ages, but I couldn't resist when I heard Doom would be the game we'd play. So I looked it up on Steam, and I can't believe that it's still $30, and the graphics were amazing, more than lifelike even. But then I saw the date and realized that this was a remake from this year. So
I knew
the legacy lives on. I never played Doom as a kid. I played its older brother, Wolfenstein 3D. I did read one or two of the books, however, and those made me swear that one day I'd play the game. So playing Doom brought back so much nostalgia. It's like a more gritty, darker version of Wolfenstein with crazy monsters instead of Nazis. I mean, that's the same thing, right? It also closely reminded me of another game you guys played on NGP, Duke Nukem 3D. In fact, I'd say that some of the later levels in Duke Nukem 3D were ripped straight from Doom.
Hey.
The gameplay is still a lot of fun after all these years. It's fast-paced, and when you run, it feels like you're flying through the levels. The simplistic method of aiming and shooting makes the game pretty easy to pick up without a tutorial. I played on the lowest difficulty and had a ton of fun running through this game and shooting monsters. And then, guys, I don't have time for the sake of the time on this podcast, but he's got bullet points of weird things about this gameplay and then awesome games about this game.
I love Antonin.
Yeah, so you'll have to get into the email and read it later, guys. But he does say at the end... Okay, enough about all this. I'd give it my New Game Plus status, but I'm biased. I'm really into 90s PC first-person shooters.
See, and I'm like the opposite, and it still gets it, because it's that good.
Antonin, thank you for your continued support, your illustrious email, and I can't wait to go into detail about the many bullet points that you brought out in your thesis.
The book that he sent.
We also received an email from Nathan, and Nathan writes, "I have to give Doom this. It created a genre. This is not something you can really say about very many games. I can count the ones I can think of on my finger." Fingers.
He's got fingers on his fingers.
Doom wasn't the first FPS game, and from a strictly technical perspective, it wasn't really that much of a step forward. Interesting. It was extremely similar in technical terms to ID's previous game, Wolfenstein 3D. Both games used 2D sprites and a 2D map, but the game counted as a 3D because the player's point of view was from inside the map. But if we can just step away from the technical for a moment, Doom was clearly much more influential on later games than Wolfenstein. If you looked at the games that came out over the next several years, their tone and atmosphere are clearly much more inspired by Doom's blood and skulls and darkness than by Wolfenstein's bright colors and swastikas. Aren't those a great myriad of, yeah. of characteristics in video games? I'm not sure exactly why Doom was so influential. Maybe it was the fact that players could create mods for it, which I do remember that being one of the first mod... this is just my note. It's one of the first mod-heavy games mm-hmm. that had like a actual group of people that modded this game.
Love it.
Maybe it was the macabre art style. I don't know. Whatever it was, Doom clearly captured the imagination of both gamers and game designers in a way that inspired a lot of imitators.
It really is hard to pinpoint why it... is what it is, like why it was so influential, but it's just fun and it doesn't need an explanation, you know. It's just like a fun game, and they were able to pull it off with so many intricacies and replayability that it had some sort of positive effect.
And then we received a final email from Bill.
I went soft. That's... this time. All right.
You made it sound like Bill's never gonna send us an email again.
Man, blast from the past on this one. Although I spent a lot of more time as a kid playing Doom 2, Doom was my first experience playing any sort of shooter. I can still remember the cheat codes. Is this game worth playing today? Yes and no. Yes, because it's a pretty short game and it's pretty easy to get through if you've never played before. No, because the controls are a bit weird with no means to reassign keys, at least in the version I played. But more importantly, Doom 2 is so much better that it's hard to recommend this one over that one.
Interesting point.
In closing, I'd like to pose a formal challenge to both Antonin and Bradley.
Oh, whoa. Viewer shoutouts?
Whatever the next viewer shouting out viewers, whatever the next random game that's picked is, I challenge them to beat me. I leave it to Dustin, Nolan, and Kenny to decide what the qualifier is based on that game, be it high score, progression, or something else. Good luck. The game is on.
Like he this. Is calling you guys out.
We gotta open it up and just sort of say, let's see in our next episode which viewer either gets high score or furthest progress or whatever, and give them a little shout out.
That's great.
This perfectly takes us into our next segment, because we're going to randomly select our next video game, next retro game of the week. And as soon as we select that, then guys, let's briefly discuss what is going to be our qualifier.
I love it.
Everyone Absolutely. That listens to this episode, you send us in your score or whatever we decide as that qualifier. Yeah. You be honest. You be truthful. Show a screenshot with your face and your name. And it's stamped by, you know, your local post office or whatever, so that we can know that it was you. And
get it notarized.
And the winner will get something special from Kenny.
that sounded...
I don't want something special from Kenny.
So, the game that you are going to be competing on and we're going to be playing for the next 7 days is... a game on the Nintendo Entertainment System that came out in 1988 called Ninja Gaiden.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Sick. I'm pumped.
Kenny, don't you really love this game?
I like this
game.
Have
you told me that before?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, this is one that I like played on my Nintendo as a kid and have some pretty fond memories.
It's the first one, right?
Yeah, this is like the original one. I'm not sure if I played a second or a third or, you know, I don't know. I just remember like playing Ninja Gaiden and loving it.
Perfect.
So I'm not too familiar with this, so I'm going to rely on you heavily, Kenny, but I believe that there is a score,
yes.
But then also you can get to the end of the game. Do we want to just do it based on how far you get or score?
Probably, assuming people take
score.
It. Yeah, assuming people take it pretty seriously and are up to the challenge of getting through the whole game, I would say completion plus score. If for some reason people don't make it all the way, at least let us
Still
know what
score.
Levels you've made it to.
Yeah.
And I would say farthest level at that point takes it. And then, like, if level is a tie, it's score in my mind.
With that, we can just say highest score, you know? Because if someone gets further, you would think and hope that they get a
Probably.
Higher score.
I mean, unless you, like, cheese just getting points somehow, but, like, play the game, progress.
I don't know. I'm for that.
Yeah.
Okay, so send us your progression, how far you got, and the score that you received when you got game over at that point.
And I reiterate, the winner will see something special from Kenny.
I will reiterate, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, but it sounds awful.
Guys, thank you so much for listening and being a part of this episode. I just wanted to remind you, this is our first ever Patreon pool episode. So it was one of our viewers that selected that chose this game to go into the small randomizer, and it was selected. So thank them. In fact, that was Bradley that suggested the game Doom. So thank you, Bradley, one of our patron supporters, Bradley, for that. If you would like to find out more about how you can get involved in that, every 4 or 5 episodes, we're going to do another Patreon pool, and some of our supporters can be a part of that selection process. Visit us at patreon.com/NGP podcast for more information. You can always find us on Facebook and Twitter at NGP Podcast. You can listen directly on any podcast provider. Swing by iTunes if you would. Drop a 5-star review. Let us know what you thought of the podcast, and we'll try to shout you out if you do that as well.
Going back to Bradley for a second. Thank you, Bradley, and thank you, Zion, for your continued support. They are our producers of NGP and our top patrons. So thanks so much, guys, for your support. We love you.
You know we appreciate you, guys. We appreciate you. We love you. We thank you. And join us next week as we play Ninja Gaiden. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Nolan.
I'm Kenny. I'm really upset about the fact that Nolan messed up the order, and if he ever does it again, he's going to get something special from me.
And this has been a very special Patreon-supported episode of New
Game
Plus.